This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's a Thursday morning without Tone Loc? I'm so proud of myself. I very rarely recognize the music that we use on this show because I don't pick it. I give the producers the freedom to pick their own music, and I just have veto power. But in this case, I actually recognize the music. Boom. Starting off this hour on a high note. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, we're watching Australian Open women's semifinals. The first one is in the books, and the reason you care is because there are two Americans still alive, or there were. Madison Keys just swept out in straight sets by world number one and Australian Ash Barty, who has the opportunity to play in front of the hometown fans. Certainly going to be a crowd favorite in the final. So congratulations to Ash. And so we'll see what Danielle Collins has as the American in the second semifinal. Men's semifinals actually begin in a few hours live on ESPN, ESPN2. So those will take place as well, including Rafael Nadal. Again, why do you care? Because if he wins this tournament, he will be the overall leader in men's Grand Slam singles titles. Because right now, Novak Djokovic, who may not even play in the French, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, and Roger Federer, who isn't playing currently, are all tied with 20 Grand Slam singles titles. And Rafa could snap that tie and move into first place. Do you know his entire career, he's been chasing Roger Federer. Now he's tied with him. But while he was away, Novak ties them both. It certainly looked for a while like Novak was going to be the one that would move into the lead. But now it's Rafa. It's on Rafa's racket. Now, he did say that he was exhausted and completely worn out by the five-setter that he played in the quarterfinals. So we'll see how that and the heat. It's been temperatures near 100 degrees there at the Australian Open. So we'll see how that affects him. He's a little bit older moving forward, but a lot to come still on what is the final few days of the Australian Open. Of course, we have talked some basketball, and we've also talked football here on the show, and we've got this great question that so many of you are excited about, which makes me happy. We've had a variety of answers on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. The biggest stunner, because I like that word, the biggest stunner of the NFL season to date is what? And coming up in 20 minutes, actually not even 20, inside of 20 minutes, one of our favorite perspective guys. So if anyone can put a historical spin or perspective on divisional weekend, it will be Russell Baxter. And so he will join us coming up in the next segment. We'll ask him the same question, but also because he's seen so much football, he's got great insight about Super Bowls and all kinds of fun stuff. So it'll be great to catch up with Russell live in just a few minutes here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 56 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Well, there's a lot of different audio that we could share with you looking ahead to championship weekend. We'll probably save most of that just because we have one more show to play with. But I did want to use a couple of pieces of audio before we get back to your phone calls. Number one, we have no news about Tom Brady, but Rob Gronkowski did an interview with TMZ Sports about his future and whether or not he'll play again.
If they're like, Rob, you know, you got to decide right now, right this second, if you're playing next year, I would say no right now. It's 2 days after the season. I'd be like, no, I'm not playing. Like, way too soon. But, like, you got to give it some time. You got to rest. I would say to see how everything goes, you know, how everything plays out, how, you know, how I feel. And I would say really, you really start thinking of what you're really going to do in about 3, 4, or 5 weeks from now. But if I had to answer right now, it would be no, Mike.
Wow.
But you never know. In 3 weeks, it may be yes.
They clearly love Rob Gronkowski, but I'm not surprised at all. It seems like a match made in heaven that he would sit down and do an interview with TMZ Sports and Mike on TMZ Sports. So that makes sense. To me, that's smart. You may not think of Rob Gronkowski as the sharpest tool in the shed. In fact, I think he likes it that way. I think he enjoys being thought of as kind of the dumb jock who's just really freaking good at football. He's a huge goofball. He's got a great personality. Obviously, he's done a lot of good in the communities and certainly has been one of the best that Tom Brady's ever played with and is headed to the Hall of Fame eventually. But he's also smart. You don't make really big life decisions in the throes of emotion. I try to remember that myself because I'm a very emotional girl. Don't make decisions. Don't write emails. Don't send text messages. Don't make phone calls unless it's to people that you know can't quit you or won't quit you. Don't do that when you're extremely emotional. Unless you're venting to someone and that's why you're calling them. But I mean, I had to apologize to the Home Depot customer service rep for yelling. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So lots of you weighing in again on social media. What is the biggest stunner of the NFL season to date? John Mara, as the owner of the Giants, introduced his new general manager by way of Buffalo. Joe Shane is now going to be part of this coaching search. They're already into it, of course. We've heard names like Brian Flores, who's scheduled to interview. Of course, Brian Daboll, who worked with Joe in Buffalo. And as much as the idea, certainly for the Mara family, is to find a general manager and a coach who will finally establish the winning culture that will end what has been an embarrassing drought for this family and this franchise in terms of playoff games and playoff wins. You have to go back to the Super Bowl, right? So their last Super Bowl. It's been so much transition and turnover from the general manager to the coaches to the quarterback position, of course. So the idea is to get this guy in place, find the coach, and then stick with them. Consistency, right? Except all the questions are about Daniel Jones and the quarterback position. And here is the new GM of the Giants talking about his what will be a fourth-year quarterback.
There's not anybody in this building that said a bad word about his work ethic, passion, you know, desire to win. And I think you got to have those traits as a quarterback. And the kid has physical ability. You know, he's got arm strength. He's athletic. He can run. So I'm really excited to work with Daniel. And again, when the new staff gets in here, we'll build an offense around Daniel to accentuate what he does best. The relationship between myself and the next head coach will be integral. We will be aligned in our plan and vision and how to build the organization and the franchise and build a winning team. We'll build a strong foundation, which will allow us to sustain success over time. I think you can truly build a roster where you can compete today and build for tomorrow. So we're going to, through the draft, free agency, whatever avenue we can, we're going to continue to build a competitive roster, and we want to see progress. And we're going to continue to build with a long term in mind, you know, as we build it. But I think you can compete today and still build for tomorrow.
That is the new general manager of the New York Giants, replacing the retired, quote unquote, Dave Gettleman. And of course, they're working on their head coach next. Brian Daboll, an obvious connection, though I have heard that Daboll's also been connected to some of the other jobs around the NFL as well. What did you tell me? Miami is the one where we're hearing a lot of chatter through the back channels. So, producer James, you're a Giants fan, and I'm sorry to highlight that, but neither one of our teams made the playoffs, and both of our teams actually are in search of new head coaches. So, you know, we're in the same boat. Were you surprised about the Deshaun Watson questions? Because to my knowledge, I had never once heard any connection between New York and Deshaun. And also, if you know the Mara family, this seems like a relatively easy answer. It doesn't seem like there would be any question.
Yeah, there's no way that Mara was, especially with the allegations on Deshaun and them being so uncertain, there's no way the Giants and the Mara family were going to have any business in that situation. That's just not how they operate.
And then why did it come up? I don't understand.
I guess just because Daniel Jones and the fact that there's so many people still out here, especially in the New York area, who just don't believe in Daniel Jones or believe he's the guy. So any sort of upgrade at all is, you know, a question that they're going to ask the team. So I think that's really just where it came from. I don't think they expected it I think they got the answer that they were expecting, but I think just to ask it just because people just really just don't believe in Daniel Jones around here.
Well, that, of course, and by here he means New York City, since we're based in New York City.
Right.
It just surprised me that there was any talk of Deshaun Watson. So officially, here is the owner of the New York Giants, John Mara, responding to questions about Deshaun.
We're not trading for Deshaun Watson. There's so many reasons why we wouldn't do that. I mean, cap-wise, we couldn't afford it. But more importantly, with the allegations that are out there right now, that's just not the right fit for us.
So you can put that speculation to bed. But again, if you know the Mara family, this is not the direction they would go. And it also doesn't really make sense to me. I guess I understand the idea that Deshaun is likely to move in a trade this offseason, and that there are teams that potentially would like to upgrade, even if they already have a quarterback in place, but not New York. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That leads me to one of my biggest stunners of the NFL season. It's not that Deshaun Watson didn't play, though that is a huge surprise. It's that the Houston Texans paid him all season to stand on the sidelines and be a healthy scratch. In other words, inactive. That blows me away. Now, I know they were holding out for something special, the right package of draft picks or players in return, and they did not feel like they ever got that. And yes, the legal situation, that's what held up the trade to Miami, right? The fact that Stephen Ross, in the end, couldn't get the assurances he needed, according to reports, that all of the Deshaun Watson lawsuits would be settled. And we're not in that stage yet. And the NFL still has to complete its investigation. There is likely to be some type of suspension or punishment from the league itself. But the fact that the Texans paid him to stand there all season and do nothing blows me away. That is one of my biggest stunners of the year. Of all the ways I thought it might pan out, that was not one of them. And yet, they did not want him on the field, and he did not want to play, and so they paid him to stand there. That's crazy. 855-212-4227. Austin is in Dallas. What's the biggest stunner of the season for you?
It's got to be the Dallas and San Francisco game, and I was fortunate enough to be at that game.
Wait, hold on. Did you say unfortunate or fortunate?
Well, unfortunate. But that was the first Cowboy game I've ever been to, so it was a cool atmosphere.
Still, it had to be amazing. I'm sorry that you didn't get the outcome you wanted, but that had to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was electric in there. The fans really came out and, were shouting and hollering and creating home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, going into that game, obviously the offense was struggling, but I thought maybe Kellen Moore was saving his playbook for the playoffs, and then to come out flat and unprepared and the penalties and
the penalties were definitely a stunner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Tony Pollard only getting four touches, CeeDee Lamb getting one catch. I mean, that's unacceptable. And, I don't see how they can bring McCarthy or Kellen Moore back. One of them's got to go, I feel like. And
it's not happening unless Kellen Moore gets a job somewhere else. It's not happening, man. They're not getting fired. I do not know how many more times we have to hear it. Do you just not believe Jerry Jones when he says it?
Well, he was on the radio station down here. On
I know.
105 The Fan, and
we played it.
He sounded very displeased with the coaching staff. He wouldn't commit to Mike McCarthy.
That's not what we played. So I know he's furious. I get that. But he said all the coaches he wants are under contract and he's not anticipating a move. He said that.
Yeah, I don't know. I know there's a lot of buzz about Sean Payton, and I know he's saying that he wants to step away for a year, but You never know what's going on behind closed doors. You know, I think Jerry's going to make him an offer. He can't refuse. And if I'm the Cowboys, I think you make that move because there's no reason. I mean, this team should have gone to the Super Bowl. We played like crap in that game and still almost beat the 49ers. It's not like the Packers didn't have all those penalties and they lost. It just shows you we could have at least got to the NFC Championship.
I mean, I agree. The turnovers were a problem. The penalties were a killer. So, but I don't think it's supremely on the coaching staff. That would be, they'd be fall guys, in my opinion. Anyway, Austin, I appreciate the call. I'm sorry that the game was such a disappointment, but I think it's amazing that you got to go. It's on my bucket list to see a game at AT&T Stadium, especially if we can get a punt that hits the bottom of the gigantic, ginormous video scoreboard. That had to be cool.
Yeah, it was cool seeing that. cool atmosphere. Thanks for the call, Amy.
All right. Austin in Dallas. So we're going to bring back this cut that we played on our show yesterday, and this is from our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan. Again, we understand he was furious. Of course he's mad. He believes the team had a chance to make the Super Bowl as well, and I said that on the air multiple times. But he was pressed again about his coaching staff.
Just for the record then, Jerry, have you had a specific conversation with McCarthy about his return as the head coach?
I'm not going to get into any conversations that I've had with anybody relative to anything to do with the staff. I understand the interest in it, but there's nothing compelling me. I've got everyone under contract that I want to have under contract, and so that's where we are.
I have everyone under contract that I want to have under contract, and that's where we are. And he says the conversation doesn't interest him. Now, you could say that's smoke and mirrors, and there's certainly a way to spin it. Absolutely, I get you. Dan Quinn might end up likely will end up as a head coach somewhere else based on the season that the Dallas defense had. And yes, they underachieved. But if you're going to fire him, why wouldn't you have done it by now? I'm just going to take him for his word. I certainly understand there's plenty of buzz because there are people who want Mike McCarthy to pay. They want heads to roll. It's unacceptable that no one should lose their job for what happened. It's a very knee-jerk reaction. I would say next year, it's more likely that if they fall short, that he loses his job. But now, we've heard from Jerry Jones multiple times that he feels like 2020 was, I don't want to say a throwaway season, but it was an aberration. And McCarthy didn't have the opportunity to put the right coaching staff in place and to work with these guys ahead of time. So he feels like this was the first full season where McCarthy was able to show what he was capable of. They won the division. They won 12 games. They hosted a playoff game. I get it. They underachieved. But there are a lot of teams that didn't accomplish what the Cowboys did. And look at the stars they've got on both sides of the ball. They're set up pretty well for 22. I know you don't want to hear that, Cowboys fans. Nobody wants to hear that after their team falls flat in the playoffs. Straight ahead, Russell Baxter. We'll ask him the same question. The biggest stunners of the NFL season today, and I love your responses. In fact, if we continue to get them as robustly, such a good word, as we are, then we'll continue this even into our next show. But on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking right side. He wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught. in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce on a push-fade comeback, and the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Travis Kelce, the touchdown, the overtime touchdown that capped maybe the greatest weekend of football we've ever seen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and The Call with Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. We're so excited to welcome, because he's an early bird, our friend Russell Baxter, who not only writes about the NFL and its history, but gives such great perspective for outlets like Fansided NFL and the NFL Spin Zone. And he joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Russ, that was the final play of what had to be one of the greatest postseason weekends in NFL history. But you're the historian. What else could possibly compare? Give me a couple of games, a couple of weekends, something that you could hold up to what we just saw.
That's a tough. By the way, did Buffalo or Kansas City score again?
Yes, they're still scoring.
Oh my goodness! You had four games that all came down to the final play. The first three all won by road teams, all won by field goals, and then of course the overtime game. It's first time since 2008, Amy, that three road teams won in the divisional round.
This is why we love you.
Often.
No, it does not.
And it's only the third time since 1970 it's ever happened. There's never been an 0-4 home divisional weekend. But, you know, and every game, Cincinnati absorbing nine sacks on Joe Burrow and pulling it out.
Right.
Okay. San Francisco goes to Green Bay, and their offense doesn't score a touchdown, and they win.
Right.
Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford had a phenomenal year together. And then just, you know, no turnovers in the Buffalo-Kansas City game. Just back and forth, 25 points in the final, 154. They were all different, and yet they were all the same in this regard, Amy. As great as the quarterbacks were, the pivotal moment for a lot of those games was special teams.
Yes, or defense.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? It's a quarterback-driven league, and yet it's defense and stuff. And I'll give you one that, listen, we know about the kicks for the Bengals and so on, and the block punt and the block field goal, so on. Do you remember in the Bucks-Rams game? I believe the Bucks kicker kicked the ball out of bounds twice on a kickoff, which gave the Rams the ball on the 40-yard line twice in that game.
Mm.
And that, you know, that's one of those ones that kind of goes under the radar and so on. But, yeah, I mean, defense and special teams. And one of my favorite stats held up again this year, no malice toward anyone, 56 years of the Super Bowl, the guy who leads the league in passing yards isn't going to win the Super Bowl.
Now, we find out about the MVP coming up. It's a couple of nights before the Super Bowl, right? It's that mm-hmm. whole NFL honors thing. But your point leads me to another point. No MVP has ever played on a Super Bowl winner.
Well, no, they have. It's just been a while since it happened.
I thought it was no quarterback who'd ever won the MVP had ever won a Super Bowl.
No, actually, several have.
Oh.
The last one to do, but it's been a while.
I screwed that up.
That's okay. It's 102 years of football. We all make mistakes. Okay. The last one to do it, Amy, was Kurt Warner.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Okay, so think about that. It hasn't happened this century.
I feel better.
And that's all right. And this century is now 21 years old. So that's quite a while. Okay. But there's been other guys who have done it as well and so on. What it shows you is putting up all those passing numbers without the balance of a running game and without an adequate defense. And so where was the Buccaneers' defense on Cooper Kupp late in that game? And, you know, it's two totally different kind of patterns and so on. And think about this. The Rams turned over the ball four times. And the Buccaneers, you know, even though they came all the way back from 27-3, which I know, in the state of Georgia, was thinking 28-3, okay? But it just goes to show you what a team game this really is. And as much as the quarterbacks get hype, and I understand all that and so on, you've got to have all three components playing well if you're going to win a game in this league, and especially in the playoffs.
When you get to this point, to be sure.
Yeah, and it's just such a, you know, there's a real funny, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in the next few minutes, there's a real kind of oddity along with this Final Four that we have in the league. And we have the obligatory San Francisco Rams game, in which I know sometime during the week someone's going to say, gee, it's hard to beat a team three times in one season.
More than once, no doubt.
Yeah, and I'll hear it, and I'll counteract that with, no, it's not. It actually happens more often that the team wins three games than they. It's just funny how it works. But by the way, you can't beat a team three times in one season, but you can beat them six times in a row, right?
This is why we love your perspective. It's great. I don't love the rematches, except that, I mean, this is what we get. So there is intrigue with rematches. And the fact that we just saw Cincinnati beat Kansas City in week 17 and do it not only fairly handily, but end their 8-game winning streak, and they clinch the AFC North. So we've been asking our listeners on this edition of the show, the biggest stunner of this NFL season to date. There may be more. It doesn't have to be playoffs. It can be regular season, but you have such a great perspective. So what are a few, we'll call them surprises, but big stunners from this season?
Well, I mean, Cincinnati certainly has to be in there, okay? Yeah, by the way, we have the Final Four here. Cincinnati and San Francisco were last-place teams last year in their divisions, okay? They're both now in the AFC and NFC championship
game. So great. I love that.
I mean, but that's the league. We had seven different playoff teams from a year ago, you know? I mean, the usual suspects. And, you know, in the playoffs so far, think about what we've seen so far, and I'll just do the quarterbacks for a second. There's no more Ben Roethlisberger. There's no more Tom Brady. There's no more Aaron Rodgers. Okay? It's Patrick Mahomes obviously been there. Matthew Stafford in an NFC championship game all those years in Detroit and so on. Garoppolo in the Niners second time in 3 years. But here's the thing I was alluding to before, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, okay? Who lost the Super Bowl last year?
It was the Chiefs.
Who lost the year before?
Don't tell me, the Niners.
And who lost the year before
Oh,
that?
No, crap. The Rams.
Correct. And
yes!
They're all in it.
Woo!
And they're all in it.
Oh, yet, good point.
And yet the outlier is a team that hasn't been there since 1988.
Yeah, so great.
And
so great.
More irony. The only time the Cincinnati Bengals have ever been in the Super Bowl, they've been in there twice. They lost the same team twice. That would be the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes. Oh, these ties to history. So good. Yeah. All right, the Bengals are certainly a great surprise. What about, say, a negative surprise? One that, because we've talked about this on the show, out of that same AFC North, the fact that the Browns really spit the bit this year. I did not expect that. I thought they would build on what they did last season, but they went the opposite direction for a lot of reasons. What's maybe one that that caught you off guard because it was just so bad?
Well, my preseason Super Bowl pick was Green Bay and Cleveland.
So
I'm spot on with you with Cleveland. And after, on Monday, I'm going to be doing a piece. I'm working on a piece about the five most disappointed teams in the league this year. And Cleveland is certainly one of them. I think Seattle is certainly one of them, given their success. Since Russell Wilson had been there, they had not had a losing season. Okay? They had been in the playoffs all but 1 year. Baltimore, going from 8-3 to 8-9.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you just don't see that as well. And I know they had injuries, but they also made some bizarre decisions, you know, going for the 2 points against Pittsburgh and losing, going for the 2 points against Green Bay and losing, and then watching their defense just absolutely abysmal against the pass all year. I mean, obviously they've made a coordinator change as well. So you just go back and you look at these teams that, you know, it's so hard to get in the playoffs. What New England did for 11 straight years, Amy, is the anomaly. We now see Kansas City. Now, Kansas City's been in the playoffs 7 years in a row, and they've won the AFC West 6 years in a row. But the rest of the playoff streak, okay, three straight years and you make the list. You know, you just don't see this more. The turnover is amazing. And you look at the Cincinnati who, you know, in Zach Taylor's first year, they won two games. And now all of a sudden you're in the AFC title game. And it's kind of, if you think about it in a different way, it's almost reminiscent of what we saw with the Titans a couple of years ago. Remember, they got hot at the end of the year with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 9-7, and then all of a sudden they're in the AFC championship game.
So good.
And ironically enough, they went to Kansas City to play that game. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. But you alluded to the 34-31 game with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Here's a number for you for Kansas City. It's got to make you nervous. There were three 200-yard receiving games in the regular season and one in the playoffs so far. By the way, Ja'Marr Chase had two of the three.
Yes.
Okay. So there were four 200-yard receiving games, and the Kansas City Chiefs gave up two of them. One
Whoa.
To Ja'Marr Chase
uh-huh.
and one to Gabriel Davis.
Yes.
Had 201 yards the other day. So even though Kansas, you know what's also odd about this foursome? I know I'm dabbling, but that's what I do.
It's what we do.
None of these teams were overly great at taking care of the football this year. Every one of these teams had at least 20 or more turnovers the final four teams. That's kind of unusual, to be honest with you.
I would say even as we're talking about receivers in big games, another stunner may be overstating it because we knew he was good and real versatile. But the fact that Cooper Kupp had the numbers he did and was the biggest and best wide receiver, the biggest threat, the best wide receiver in the game this year. But I also, and I love this stat, no doubt you know it, but I've used it on my audience a little bit, Russ. The fact that Matthew Stafford is the quarterback who passed to the two receivers in history that got over 1,900 yards in a season. Megatron and Cooper Kupp. And so I've said this too, as a sports fan, only sports can make me so unbelievably happy for a human I don't know. And I'm That's so happy for Matthew Stafford.
And I love hearing you talk about this as well, because here I'm hearing is happy. Okay. Because when I turned on the news Sunday and Monday, okay, I could have sworn, I was pretty sure that the Bengals, and the Rams and the 49ers and the Chiefs all won this weekend. When I turned on news, I kept on reading about the Titans losing and the Packers losing and the Buccaneers losing and the Bills losing. So, see, I like your optimism. Let's focus on the accomplishments. I mean, Matthew Stafford, who was the first. When you think about it, we have two of the four Final Fours. Their quarterback was the first overall pick in their draft. Joe Burrow, obviously, a couple of years ago. Matthew Stafford in 2009.
Yeah.
Was the first overall pick and languished with a team that, sorry, they haven't won a playoff game in 30 years, the Detroit Lions. 1991 when they beat the Cowboys. Okay? So, I mean, that's, you know, the Bengals ended their streak at 1990 when Boomer Esiason was at the helm. Okay? So, but Matthew Stafford, the one thing about Stafford, remember early in his career, he had trouble staying on the field with health his first two or three years, and then he became kind of an Iron Man and so on. But the one thing about Matthew Stafford that made him the first overall pick was his ability to throw the ball. He has a rifle of an arm.
He does.
And what Sean McVay has been able to do for him with the semblance, and listen, the Rams defense hasn't been great all year, but they have great players, getting Von Miller. You think about this. This is the second time in 2010 that Von Miller ended Tom Brady's season. The AFC Championship game when the Broncos won. Remember what a big game he had? Sacks, he had an interception of Brady.
Oh, no, I remember.
I know you remember. And now fast forward, the impact that he's had. I think he's had a sack, at least one sack in six straight games now.
So good. Well, this is the great thing about the Rams. They've literally mortgaged every draft pick until 2035. Yep. Okay, that's not literal, but 2035. And they've brought in all of these free agents or trades who have put them in this position. If they don't win now, I mean, I wouldn't say their window's closing, but they've brought in these guys for this reason. And at some point, the Piper will have to be paid. So they need to take advantage while they've got it. So, Russell, before we let you go, you mentioned that you have this column coming out. You're writing about the top five disappointing teams of the season. So give us one more on that list. But I only have about 30 seconds or so.
Oh, well, I think in some ways Minnesota was a disappointment. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know they weren't in the playoffs last year. Okay? But this was the first time under Mike Zimmer they went two straight years with losing seasons and not making the playoffs. And the disappointing part about them is, for all of the critics of Kirk Cousins, their offense has been pretty good. It's
yeah.
the defense that has really fallen off the shelf
right.
the last 2 years. And that's somewhat stunning when you consider Mike Zimmer's pedigree. So even though they're not a playoff team from 2020, I thought they'd have a lot. In fact, I thought Minnesota would win the division and Green Bay would win the Super Bowl as a wild card. That was my preseason pick.
Interesting. I love that we can look back on these and kind of laugh at ourselves. So
I laugh at myself daily.
Yes,
so.
Me too. Footballer now. He's the founder of ProFootballGuru.com. In fact, I have a T-shirt, so that's part of his Twitter handle, at Bax Football Guru. Russell Baxter, writer, historian, lots of years in football, and lots of perspectives, which is why we love to have him on the show. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Maybe even Super Bowl week. Who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe.
All right, Russ, have a great day.
You too.
It's After Hours. Oops, got to leave the mic on. That thing, that bright red light. I don't know what's happening with me.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
For the win. The snap, the put down, the swing of the right leg.
Yeah, baby.
It's on its way.
Yeah, baby.
It is
yeah.
good. Yeah. Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. That is unbelievable. 54 and 52 at the gun. That is unrealism right there. And the Bengals advance to the Final Four.
He's got ice in his veins. There's not much to be said. You know, he's as cool as it gets. You've got confidence that he's going to nail it every single time he steps up there. You know, he definitely could have gone from longer out than what we kicked it from. We felt confidence, you know, to probably get on the 40-yard line there. So he just steps up. The moment's never too big for him.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Zach Taylor talking about his rookie kicker, ice water in his veins. And certainly that was one of the cool moments with the mic'd up people of NFL Network and NFL Films, just to kind of get in the trenches as this perfect NFL weekend was unfolding. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but I've seen some of the clips. And at some point, I got to find the whole thing so that I can watch and experience it through the eyes of these players and coaches who were mic'd up. The call with Dan Horde and Dave Lapham of the Bengals advancing to the AFC Championship on the Bengals radio network. What is the biggest stunner of the NFL season to date? On Twitter, Chris says the Bengals fixed about 30 years of awful in two drafts. So nice recovery for them this season. Caleb goes with Tennessee securing the top seed, which I totally agree with. That's a huge one because of everything they went through and all the injuries. The fact that they had the number one seed and didn't capitalize on it may not even be as surprising. Kim says Sean Payton leaving the Saints, didn't see that coming at all. So these are responses on Facebook. This one kind of makes me laugh. Jeff goes with parity. No, that's the NFL every year. That is the NFL. They pride themselves on the fact that half their playoff field turns over every year. Let's see. Toby goes with the train wreck. That was the Cleveland Browns. That's his biggest stunner of the 2021 season to date. So we're going to work in a couple of calls here. You can continue to send your responses to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. In addition, you got Twitter, A-Law Radio, and we'll carry this over into our final show as we're talking about football and Championship Sunday. Danny is listening in Massachusetts. Danny, welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Amy, I love your show. You're my favorite part of the night when I drive all night.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with everyone who says Cincinnati in the Final Four is the biggest surprise. So I know that's been covered, but can I ask you a question unrelated?
Is it related to football?
Did you work in Rochester, New York at some point?
Yeah, that was the very first stop in my commercial radio career.
I saw that. I live in Rochester, and cool. Winters aren't as bad as they used to be there.
I love winters.
Were you there?
That was my first job out of Syracuse, so I was there right out of college.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for everything you do. I love your show.
Oh, good. Cool, Danny. Good to hear from you. Glad you're listening in Massachusetts. And yeah, Rochester, WHAM, for those of you who are familiar with Western New York. I went from Syracuse to Rochester and worked at what is a clear channel station. That's what they're called, meaning at night, these AMs, there's a handful of them across the country. Those of you who listen to them, you know what I'm talking about. My mom could sit in our driveway in New Hampshire and listen to me on the radio at night in Rochester, New York. Our signal reached 38 states in Canada. I would have listeners in Arizona who would call up. And so that was my first job. I did overnights. And I also produced Buffalo Bills football because that was the lifeblood, is the lifeblood. And so I got my early introduction to the craziness of Bills Mafia, even then with the table breaking and all that jazz. Body slamming tables. Josh is in Texas. No, not kidding, Josh. You've got about 60 seconds. Go.
All right, so I just want to talk about the Bengals this season. I mean, like you were saying, it's not – I mean, it was not even the past two seasons that have really changed it. It's been since 2015 when Andy Dalton broke his thumb. I mean, they've been reworking that defense, but mostly that offense. And, I mean, it just astonishes me the atmosphere that Joe Burrow has created there with Zach Taylor the past couple of years. I mean, even though Joe Burrow broke his ACL –
He broke it. Yes, he did.
or tore it. Tore his ACL last season. You know, he's been on the sideline just making that influence with that team. So
I would say really... this, too. Like, in the callers, I guess the Facebooker mentioned the draft. Think about the weapons they put around him, Josh.
Yes, as well as, I mean, look at the defense, too. Like I said, they reworked that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they even though he gets sacked 9 times in the game, I mean, they go out there and they do 3 turnovers. They get 3 turnovers for him so he can get right back up and keep going.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me, the atmosphere that they've created.
The meteoric rise, to be sure. I love that. It's a great answer, Josh. Thank you so much for listening in Texas. We hope to talk to you again soon. Have a great Thursday. Producer James, well, you know the clock. You're about to hear the music. You're about to hit the music. So what's your stunner?
I think my stunner is how poor Trevor Lawrence looked this entire season. He's a rookie. I think he's still going to be a great quarterback, but he looked far from generational in his first year in the NFL.
You want to talk about humbling for a guy who was the overall number one draft pick, right? But as Peyton Manning says, he had so many interceptions in his first year as well. That's a good one. Nobody else said that. All right, we'll continue this. We'll wrap up the work week tonight. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.